Welcome to the Funding Love Podcast. I'm Mallory.
And I'm Caitlin. We are two adoptive moms that seek to love, support, and elevate all corners of the adoption triad through honest conversation and interviews while running our nonprofit, Funding Love.
Funding Love creates post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people. We are Funding Love. Let's go. Hey, Kate, I love that shirt you're wearing.
Thanks, Mal. I just recently got it from the Funding Love store.
Really? I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh yeah, there are new designs and products in the store all the time, every few months it seems.
You're right about that. Our merchandise manager, Victoria, is always creating new designs with each season and adding fun and new items. I recently bought myself a stainless steel water bottle and a coffee mug.
That's awesome. Everybody loves a good coffee mug. But do you want to know my favorite part of the Funding Love store?
What's that?
That 100% of the proceeds go directly towards our mission at Funding Love. When you buy any item from the store, you are Funding Love.
That's right. And the holidays are the perfect time to give a gift that gives back. So visit fundinglove.com/shop today.
Welcome back to the Funding Love Podcast. My name is Caitlin. I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm here with, of course, Mallory.
Hi, Caitlin. What an exciting episode we have today.
Gosh, we are still like...
I'm still on a high.
I was explaining to you, I just have like this energy like oozing out of my ears. It's like literally still overflowing from such a spectacular evening that we had at the Funding Love Gala. I mean, I wish everybody could be there. I wish everybody could have seen. I don't even know the word for it. Maybe you can help me find the word for what the evening was. Like a dream?
A dream.
Like it literally felt like a dream.
It was spectacular. Of all of the effort we put into this evening, of all of the, I mean, you and I worked really hard, but we also like put a lot of worry into it. I don't want to say we were, I mean, maybe we were anxious about it, but I don't think it was anxious as in we didn't plan well and didn't know how it would go. I think it was anxious in like, we want our hearts to be communicated. We want these people to enjoy their evening. We wanted them to feel what we feel about this organization. And so I think that we carried like the anxiety of wanting to communicate well. And I think this evening did that perfectly.
Amazing. And so just you guys can probably pick up on it, but this episode is going to be a Funding Love Gala recap, talking all of the things of the evening. So for those who are in the room, we can talk recap with them, and those who weren't able to make it, they can get a little glimpse of what we experienced. Hopefully they can mark their calendars for next year, because it was like one of those evenings like a do not miss. I feel like it's going to be one of those, I truly believe this is going to be one of those annual things that people are going to look forward to. And just know that, oh, every year I go to the Funding Love Gala.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the people in the room felt that way. I would say that if the people in the room don't show up next year, it must have been a scheduling like engagement error, because I don't think there was one person that left that room that wasn't gushing with, this was fun, this was beautiful, it was touching, I now know what Funding Love does.
Yeah. But I also think there was like fun. Because when we were planning it, we're like, we want this to be moving, but we also don't want it to be like the entire thing's a sob fest entire thing is so heavy that it's like there's no room for fun or laughter. But there was definitely some moments. So let's go top to bottom. Let's go from, so 6 p.m., that was our VIP reception. So let's start there. Let's start from the beginning.
Absolutely. So 6 p.m. was the beginning of our VIP reception, which was only our sponsorship tables. So those gold and silver sponsors that gave even extra funds than our, you know, the cost of their seat to be there because they support Funding Love. They each got 10 seats at their table, so they were able to fill it up with all of their friends. And man, those were some really amazing people that showed up to our VIP hour. During our VIP hour, we had hors d'oeuvres. You'll have to help me remember what all was there, but I know there was sushi. There was a really
fancy charcuterie table.
Board. Yes, it was. It wasn't a board. It was a table.
It's a like charcuterie entire table. Yeah. And we had some specialty cocktails just for that reception named Funding Love names. Gosh, what was the first one?
We had the Funding Love Fizz.
Funding Love Fizz.
Yes, which was this cute little like gin fizz that came with some boba bubbles in it. It was so cute. Mm. And then I think we had the good old fashioned love, because we were kind of trying to keep with that love theme. But it was basically an old fashioned with like a burnt orange peel in it. So it was great.
Gosh, it was so cute. And then, of course, oh, we also had not only our sponsors, but our guests of honor were able to attend this VIP reception too. And we'll talk about our guests of honor later, but we had a whole table, a table of 10, of some special guests who joined us for the evening. But our VIP folks also got a visit from some special friends that we all know and love. And it was Minnie and Mickey. Were they not? Oh my gosh, they were the most adorable. You and I got to greet them and open the doors when they walked in. And any anxiety and worry I had for the evening was like washed away
gone.
As soon as they walked in the door.
100%.
They were adorable. And they were in their formal wear. Minnie was in the cutest dress and Mickey had his tuxedo on. Oh my gosh, it was so special. And they were there for 30 minutes. And I'm going to say it was 30 minutes full of visiting with our VIP. It was a perfect amount of time. It was really cool.
Yes, I think everybody got the chance to get their picture. I have enjoyed seeing all of the pictures online with Mickey and Minnie. They were truly adorable. And because it was so private, people weren't just like rushed through the line. They were able to sit and have a moment with Mickey and Minnie. I showed her my dress. So I want to talk about all of our dresses and then all of the formal wear in the room as well, because people were dressed gorgeously. All the men were looking dapper. Don't you just love an event where you can get dressed up?
Oh, it's so much fun.
Tell us about your dress, Caitlin.
So first of all, I ordered 5 dresses. Because I was dying to wear green for some reason. I wanted to wear green. So I ordered all of these different dresses. And lo and behold, I end up with a really classic black dress. And it was this big old ruffle that went over just one shoulder. It was over my left shoulder. So it was form-fitting and a big old ruffle. And I just absolutely loved it. It turned out better than I thought. And you know what? I'm glad I wore black.
Yeah.
I'm glad I wore black.
And you had
it worked out perfect.
A stunner slit that went up the left leg.
I did. Oh my gosh.
A little surprise of the leg there sometimes. And
sometimes you just need a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a pizzazz there,
You looked beautiful. You looked beautiful, truly. But
thanks,
honestly, my story's like the exact opposite, because I know you and I and all the planning stuff, like our dresses, were like, oh no, we have to pick out a dress. So I went on a website and just was like, oh, that black dress is pretty, because I kind of felt like I wanted to wear black, and it had like a higher boat neck that kind of reminded me of Breakfast at Tiffany's in the front. So I said, great, bought it, got it home. I was like, it is beautiful, but it's kind of boring. And it's not Mal. And you know me, anybody that knows me, I'm kind of an extra person. I don't mind making a bold statement or taking a risk. So I call up my mom and I say, Mom, I love this black dress. It's beautiful. I need like a wow factor. Will you sew me a massive bow to put on my back? And she's like, okay, sure.
So you're like massive mom. Like this has
I'm
to
like,
be like,
yeah,
because
she sent
wide.
Me like a cute one. She was like, well, you could just make it out of this ribbon. I'm like, no, mom, you're not getting it. So I went on Pinterest and got some pictures and showed her. And she's like, oh, you want a bow? I said, I want a bow. Lo and behold, I'm kind of spilling the beans here to our listeners, because not everybody heard this story last night, but she went into a thrift store. She ends up FaceTiming me one day, like a week later, a couple weeks later, and is like, Mallory, I found this formal dress for $7 at the thrift store. It's a size extra large. I think I can use the fabric from this dress and make you a bow, because this fabric is beautiful. And she like, you know, showed me. I said, hey, if you want to try it, the worst you know, we lost $7 and we can try a different fabric. She put together this bow and it was beautiful. Didn't she do an excellent job?
It was spectacular. It was literally like you put it on and you do a twirl and you're like, okay, now that's Mal. Now
yes,
we've got it.
Yes,
now we've
for
taken
sure.
the black basic to the next level. And well, let's not even just stop there, because your shoes were something.
Goodness. I don't think most people saw the shoes, but I didn't want to hem the dress too much, and I did want to like make a statement, be nice and tall. These were like, gosh, I don't know, 4-inch platforms with like a 7 or 8 inch heel. I was so tall. And they were all
so
completely bedazzled in silver gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
Like ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
They were so gaudy.
Blinding.
And
they
I
were
loved
blinding.
Them. I love them.
They were gaudy. So you were kind of like, I did the black and gold, because I had some like, I did the
yes.
gold shimmer and I did some gold bracelets and jewelry. And you were like the
black
and silver.
And silver. Yes.
Silver. Yeah. So we would compliment each other wear well. But so I got to give a shout out. One of the dresses I loved, and it was so my style, was our friend Christina Riccio and her like stunner
yes.
of a red dress. And she kind of had similar to me. It was like over her left shoulder with like this, I don't even know what you'd call it. I would call it like one big ruffle. But it was the most beautiful red dress, and I've already reserved it as a borrow. I'm going to say I need to borrow that for my next event. Spectacular. She was one of my favorite, one of my favorites.
Yes. I loved, well, we can talk about, we mentioned our guests of honor, but one of our guests of honor, Savannah, she had, oh my goodness. She had this like kind of off the shoulder, but it, then it was like a 3/4 length sleeve. I believe it was all black, or there might have just been like a black lace over it. But then from the top, kind of like tapering down to the bottom, almost like an ombre where the flowers didn't go all the way to the bottom. They kind of like tapered off as you went down. But it was like a floral garden coming down her dress. She was stunning. I loved that dress. One of my favorite dresses of the evening. And guys, the guys were so dapper. And can I tell you what I told Tim when we left that night? I said, I love that all of these guys came dressed to the nines, but there's like this trend now where like the really cool guys wear just like top of the line cool kicks with their tucks instead of getting like a tuxedo shoe. Like they were wearing like Nike and Adidas or like really high-end tennis shoe.
Well, let's talk about my friend Christina Riccio. Well, her husband, Alex Riccio, did you see his studded shoes?
No.
You did not?
I don't think I saw them.
Oh, my! Yeah. The entire shoe had black studs all over them.
That's amazing.
They were spectacular. My husband was a bit jealous. I mean, my husband showed up in a bright pink velvet tuxedo jacket. Hot pink
velvet. Loved it. Oh, my goodness. You know I love that.
With the black bow tie. We honestly, we looked pretty good with the black the black and the pink, it was good.
So needless to say, we've just spent 10 minutes gushing about outfits, but everybody really showed up, dressed out in their best, but also things that match their personality. So much fun seeing what everybody showed up in. So after that 6 p.m. cocktail hour was over, where not only did they get those amazing hors d'oeuvres, drinks, and get to meet Mickey and Minnie, they also had that time to browse before anybody else went into that room, the silent auction. But then at 7 p.m., we had all of the other guests show up, register, check in, and then everyone moved into that gorgeous foyer. I could live life in that foyer
at the Four Seasons. We spent a lot of time in there, and I'm just thankful we did.
It's beautiful. It was
stunning. And it goes out to like the grassy area. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And so we had our silent auction set up in there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the silent auction tables?
The silent auction turned out amazing. And that was one thing, you know, as you and I were planning this, that we just wanted to be sure that we had something there kind of for everybody. Like for all different sorts of people. So we had sports memorabilia, different sorts of whiskey and bourbon and gin. And then we had, so we have like the sports memorabilia, the alcohol, we had like a Bloody Mary basket, and then some jewelry and some fashion items. So we had a beautiful Kate Spade purse, some Kate Spade earrings, some Burberry sunglasses.
We had a really limited edition Dooney and Burke that was like,
oh my gosh, yeah,
that was gorgeous. I think it was like a 50th anniversary Dooney and Burke Disneyland Haunted Mansion Dooney and Burke, but then it was also a pass holder bag, so it was only available to pass holders in Disneyland. And it was so cute. When it arrived, we were like, I want this.
It was like a tiny little cute little, what do they call it? Like a duffel purse bag.
Yeah.
Like a little,
my gosh. It was adorable. A little satchel.
So satchel, yeah. Yes. So that was a hot item. We had some experiences. So some like Four Seasons stay.
A Four Seasons stay, a night at the Four Seasons that also came with dinner and breakfast at their like signature restaurant, Ravello. We had a VIP tour of Trillis Studios, which is where they filmed all of them, like not all, but a fair amount of the Marvel movies, like Ant-Man and the Thor movies and the Spider-Man movies were filmed there. So we had like a VIP soundstage trolley tour of that.
We had a 3-night, 4-day Universal package.
Yes.
Which was huge. That was a big one.
We did. And then we also had, I thought this one was super fun, a tequila tasting for two at La Cava inside of Epcot's Mexico Pavilion. So that was super fun.
So fun.
Yeah, that one went really quickly. And like circling back to the sports memorabilia, like that sounds like, okay, sports memorabilia. Like we had a shoe signed by Rory McIlroy that he wore during a tournament. Like, that was huge. We had a basketball signed by the whole team of the Orlando Magic. We had a Falcons football signed by one of their players.
Two hockey pucks signed by some the Philadelphia Flyers players.
Yes. And then we had some, like, cute items that were also, like, in a not in the, you know, $4,000, $5,000, you know, vacation package. But, like, that cute, those two cute baskets of Bellanote headbands. Those were so cute.
We had some lounge flies, some limited edition lounge flies.
Lounge which fly really fun, purses.
Which are Disney bags. Yeah.
Yes, yes. That have like the little Mickey ears on the back of them. And those, actually, people got into bidding wars for those. Like at one of the Bella Notte. Yeah, one of the Bella Notte bags, baskets of headbands, I think it started out with like a starting bid of $60. Bella Notte is a small shop that is in the Orlando area. She makes these cute little bow bands that are like Disney themed. Her Disney themed basket ended up going for $225.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love a good bidding war.
I love a bidding war.
Love it.
Yeah.
But also let's go back to the whiskey. But those are big deals. People were watching their bid to make sure they were the last and final because they wanted those. So the 10, 12, and 15.
That 15-year Pappy went, I want to say, for $2,200 or $2,400. Yeah.
Amazing.
So we need to get started on moving into the room because.
Let's do it.
We can't yet because we have to talk about the past hors d'oeuvres. So the VIP hour had their own hors d'oeuvres. Mm-hmm. In the cocktail hour where we had the silent auction, did you try any of those hors d'oeuvres, girl?
I had the truffled mac and cheese bite.
Truffled mac and cheese bite. Somebody else said, I was offered a crab cake. I don't eat seafood. I'm sure they were delicious. We also had beef Wellington. And someone said, did you get the beef Wellington? But I was like talking to people. I was like, I haven't seen that one yet. But I did snag a mac and cheese bite. That was so cool and so delicious.
So good. Those went fast.
When I picked it up, I thought it was like a hash brown or something. And then me when too. I bit into it, I was like truffle mac and cheese.
That's so great. That's what I was wanting. Mm-hmm. And we had Gillian the girl playing in the foyer, which they are an incredible duo. They are a husband and wife team and they absolutely incredible. So they were playing in the foyer for our guests as they were mingling, watching, looking at the silent auction, having their cocktails. So there was an open bar during that time as well. That took our reception to the next level, in my opinion.
It really did.
I'm so glad they played it live out there. That was so good.
For sure. People were standing around them just watching and being like, who is this?
Who are these incredible
people?
They're
really good. And I'm like, I know. But one other thing that I really loved about that cocktail hour was that I already saw, like, we had some birth moms that we hosted as our guests of honor, but there were other birth moms that had bought tickets to come in attendance, which I'm so grateful for. I already saw how they found each other. They're like standing around a table, talking and laughing, adoptive parents finding each other, people meeting new people from the Orlando area. We had a lot of people from the Orlando area represented in our crowd. We also had Carla from the local news.
Yeah, she was from the local ABC affiliate.
Correct.
Incredible.
She was there. We had some local kind of Orlando Instagram influencers in the room.
We had Disney people there.
Disney representatives that work with Disney. We had the general, the GM of the boathouse there. He's amazing. Love him. And so anyways, it was fun to see these people that were in the Orlando area talking, meeting each other for the first time or networking themselves. It was so fun to see.
It was certainly a social hour. People were certainly mingling and meeting new people.
There was nothing awkward. It was like we could have like ended the night there and everybody would have had a blast.
Oh, so I got to tell this funny story because your friend Alana, who you always talk about to me, and so I feel like I know her, but she was so funny. She like came up and grabbed my arm from behind and was like, how are you? And I was like, hey, girl. She's like, I don't know you because we had never met in person. She's like, I thought you were Mallory. I go, well, thanks for the compliment, but no, I'm Caitlin. She's like, oh, you're Caitlin. I was like, who are you? Alana. I was like, great to meet you because you talk about her all the time and I know of her. So we had a cute like few minute conversation, but the best way to meet her, like that was such a fun, like awkward, we ran into each other and she's like, oh my gosh, I feel embarrassed.
Oh my goodness. she's so hilarious. I honestly expect nothing less.
No. Oh, it was great.
She was adorable.
So that part was so good. So then the doors open. These doors and the curtains, they're drawn open. The ballroom is on display. The guests start making their way into the ballroom and finding their tables. And as they find their tables, Gillian and the girl make their way to the stage there and they welcome everybody with a fun Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake. So that was a fun mood. Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And so everyone was finding their seats, getting their last cocktail before the production started.
And all of our tables were like labeled not with – they did have numbers, but they were labeled with like Disney characters too. So that was really fun because our organization is all, you know, Disney-centric. So that was really fun. I was at the Peter Pan table. What table were you at?
Well, my last name's Duckworth. I am appropriately at the Donald Duck table.
That's right. Yeah.
No, it was – that was a fun little Disney touch that we added there. But yeah, after everyone sat down, Gilly and the girl opened it up. Our spectacular MC, auctioneer, DJ, host, Christian Dumond, our dear friend, played, had multiple hats that evening, and he was incredible. So he welcomed everybody. Gosh, what a fun beginning. Like, his energy and his humor and his presence was just the perfect person for that evening.
That's right. And not only did he just kick off the event with a welcome, he kicked off the event with our first live auction. So not only did we have the silent auction in the foyer, but we had live auction moments, you know, the like, give me 100, give me 200, you got 250, got 250, got 300. And people were able to raise their hands. So our first live auction was a very expensive. I probably have never tasted it. I'm sure I've never tasted it. Don't know if I ever will. Bottle of champagne. I think he said that bottle of champagne retails for like $500. And we auctioned that off, and one like lucky table. I can't remember what table it was. What table number 2?
It was our dear friend Karen Crater, who we were so grateful for. Table number 2
won the auction.
She won it. She raised her hand, and that was a fun way to
It bounced back and forth the room a good bit. But I was like, anybody that's listening that knows Karen Crater, she's been on the Travelmation podcast. You know she loves her bubbly, and so it was kind of going around the room. You know, getting a little bit of auction going for it. And then Karen raised her hand and I said, oh, if Karen doesn't get that bottle of champagne, I don't know who possibly would outbid Karen. So she got it.
She's serious about her bubbly is what we're saying.
But not only that, she was so generous and shared it with some people at her table. So that was really great too. What a doll.
Yeah. Okay, so then after that, I think we show a little bumper video and then they welcome you and I on stage. Christian does a little welcome for you and I. This is salad. Salad has been served, so our guests are enjoying salad during this time. And then we go up on stage, do our little intro to Funding Love, let's say. We give a little banter of who we are, what we do, and an intro to each of our programs. And, you know, we have an adoptive family program, and that's where we started the evening, is talking about that. The birth of Funding Love leading into Adoptive Family Vacations. Our special guests of honor, we had two adoptive families in the room with us that night who journeyed down to attend this event with us. And so we brought them on stage and we did a little interview moment with them and kind of asked them about their experience with Funding Love and what it meant to them and how it's impacted their family. So that was a really powerful moment because some of the kids said some things and enough said. When we asked that one final question, I'm going to say it. If you could say one thing to the donors, what could you say? And then little Sticky said, just thank you. And we're like,
oh, I think the whole room did that. Aww.
They go, oh, it was like, well, wrap it up. See you guys. We're done.
True. No, there were so many great moments. Savannah had me crying during that. Just telling Savannah, Gabe, and Kaylee are the Lion family. You can see their story on our website. They traveled with us in 2019, and she shared some really powerful stories from their vacation and how traveling in 2019 pre-COVID, how some of those memories and she called them core memories from Inside Out, really stuck with them during the hard times that they experienced during the pandemic and all they've gone through. And
she said it was like the glue for them. She goes, it was like the foundation and the glue that we didn't know we needed until we were in that hard time.
Right. And it was super powerful. The Dabbs family was there as well. They traveled with us in 2021. And one of my favorite moments of that whole family interview too was when Luke shared about his favorite memory. We kind of went around. We said, what's your favorite memory? Gabe gave the most adorable answer about Tower of Terror. he totally charmed the whole room.
Answer. Oh my gosh, yes. That's so funny.
But then Luke said, you know what, for me, and he's the dad of the Dabbs family, he said, you know what, for me, I love Mickey Bar ice creams and I really tried to get one every single day, but when we were in Magic Kingdom, we were so busy, we did different things, and I just never kind of got that Mickey Bar ice cream, and we were sitting there waiting for the fireworks, and I was thinking, man, I never got my Mickey bar today. And he said, and here came Tim Elrod, my husband, with a big box of ice creams, and he just handed me one, and everybody that was with Funding Love got an ice cream. And I was looking out in the audience, and there was a man there at one of the tables, and I could see his face, and I looked at Tim, and I said, Tim, clarify me if I'm wrong, but I am 99% sure that the man that donated that box of ice creams, because we had a donor that is so generous, and kind to Funding Love, reach out that day in the Magic Kingdom and say, hey, I just want to buy a box of ice creams. Like, go up to the ice cream thing and just say, hey, can I get the whole box? And go distribute them to your families. I would love to donate to Funding Love in that way. Tim was like, great. So we were able to tell Luke, like, the donor that donated that box of ice creams is in this room tonight. I had no idea Luke was going to share that story. And to have that donor sit there and listen to how impactful that moment was for, like, a grown man that is married and has gone through the adoption process, a really hard one too. You can read their story on our website of bringing home their son from Sierra Leone and all of the obstacles they went through. That just that Mickey bar with his family, with his wife and his child watching fireworks was an impactful moment for him, making him feel like a kid again. And so, oh man, I just had like chills break out over my body when he said that, and being able to look at that donor in the eyes, and I know he likes to remain anonymous, but and be like, look, a box of ice creams, a Mickey bar. We say this all the time when we are doing these podcasts. We'll say, I'm telling you, we appreciate when your donation is $5,000. We need those funds and we use those funds well.
Absolutely.
But for those people that think, I'm not going to give, I can only give $10. That'll what? Cover a Mickey bar? No, a Mickey bar matters.
Absolutely. That was a really cool moment because we could see, because, you know, we're sitting on stage at that moment, so we could look out
see everybody's faces, yeah.
And that particular donor, you could see a little grin on his face. Mm-hmm. And you could see, like, I don't want to say he was crying, but you could see he felt like a little overwhelm. And it was mm-hmm. cool to look at him as Luke was telling that story. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a really powerful moment. Those interviews, such a huge part of the evening. And you know what's funny is that everyone told me, not everyone, but I had a lot of conversations, of course, after, and everyone's like, gosh, what a great event. They're like, the interviews are the best part. Love those family interviews. So cool. So glad you guys did that, which is really cool. Really cool to hear that that was impactful and that our donors and everyone in the room really got a firsthand feel of the impact that these programs make. Because you and I could talk about it all the time, but like we said, hearing from those who actually experience it is how you're really going to know the impact that this makes. And that was really important to have them in the room. So that was the family portion. And then after that moment, dinner was served. And so then Gilly and the girl came back up on stage and did a pretty long set for about an hour while everybody was eating dinner. They were mingling, getting some cocktails. That was a really cool casual time while listening to some incredible music. And then after dinner, let's talk about dinner.
Dinner was amazing.
Amazing.
We can't glaze over the fact like our program was phenomenal, but like the Four Seasons knocked it out of the park with this food. We'll never host our gala anywhere else, I don't think, because their level of service was excellent. Their food was phenomenal. So our guests were served a duet plate where mm-hmm. they had a filet mignon and some mahi-mahi. They had a...
With risotto. It had like risotto and carrots.
It was like an asparagus white cheddar risotto with... Mm. Oh, those carrots were delicious. It was phenomenal. And then at our table, I don't know about your table, so you'll have to share, but I know at our table we had a vegetarian that we invited. And so the Four Seasons accommodated that, and he said his meal was delicious. And then I also reached out afterwards and asked Alana, who we talked about, and I said, hey, you know, Four Seasons didn't really tell us what they would serve people with food allergies, but they said they could absolutely accommodate, like, did you enjoy your meal? And she said, absolutely, it was excellent. So that was amazing. That was wonderful. I'm so glad that they were able to accommodate those in the room that also had food allergies or sensitivities.
Yeah. So that was a delicious, delicious meal. And the salad, what was it? A burrata salad, right?
No, it was a caprese.
So good.
Delicious. I just love mozzarella and balsamic. End of story. I'll eat it all day.
And some good tomatoes. So yeah, that was delicious. So then let's jump into the next part of the program, which is where we did our birth mom interviews. So we had four birth moms in the room who were also our guests of honor that had previously traveled with us on a birth mom funding love vacation. And so talk about powerful moments. Talk about life-changing stories that they're telling that. And you know the cool thing? Is that, you know, we can get into some of the interview moments, but the cool thing is that after the event, during the dance party, I had people come up to me and say, so I kind of knew what you guys did. You know, I knew you sent, you know, some families on vacations and I knew that like you did birth moms, but I thought it was like birth moms that were like the birth moms of the families that kind of like got to go sometimes. And I didn't know it was this. They said, it is absolutely incredible that you are purposely and wholeheartedly loving on this community of women that are let's just say, I don't want to say that, I'm just saying this is what he said. He said, kind of the outcast in this, in the adoption world. And he said, you guys are loving on them. You're saying, come with me, you matter. I want you to be seen. I want you to be loved. I want you to be heard. And so that was cool for somebody who really didn't know about this part of Funding Love What We Do, really understood part of our mission and other impact that we have. And
absolutely.
His heart was changed. And he said, he goes, you've got me, I'm in. He goes, you guys have me,
that's
I'm
amazing.
In.
So that was,
yeah, he goes, you've sold me that these stories are amazing and these women are amazing. So that was really, really cool to
hear. And
I
think that's a huge part of what we do and why we do it. And again, we say it here over and over, but nobody says it better than the people that have experienced it. But this is why we do this. We want to elevate their voices. The reason why we send them on trips so that they can learn to embrace their own story, find community of people that have that same lived experience, is so that they're not the outcast anymore. People, whether or not they feel like an outcast or whatever, people on the outside of adoption, like that man said, maybe it wasn't the right verbiage, but it was what was accurate in his mind, they're outcasts. And we don't want people to view these women in that way anymore.
He actually used an example to me. He goes, and it was really cool to hear him say this. He said, you know what it reminded me of when those women were talking and hearing about your program? He goes, when Jesus would go into communities and go into villages, he would see the people who were on the outside. He would see the people who were forgotten, who were just kind of on the outskirts. And he would say, you, I love you. Come with me. Come with me. And he would love on them. And that's the example he used to me. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And he goes, that's what you guys are doing for these women. I was like, oh, dang. Like, that's quite the comparison.
That
but
is.
It was really cool to see that he saw
that. That's what
the
he
love,
took away.
That he saw that love. Yeah.
Yeah. That we're really actually out here doing it. We're actually out here loving these women because we are actually out here loving, like, we love them. You and I have such a heart. It's so great within us. We're not faking anything. And being able to have these women on stage and give them that platform to share, wow, it was just so powerful. They shared stories of gaps that they had seen in their own care post-placement of their children. They had shared their favorite memories from the vacations. They shared how they experienced community restoration and what that meant for them. And then we had this really cool moment with Courtney, one of the women. She's been on our podcast before. You can go listen to her episode. And if you do go listen to her episode, make sure you have some tissues. But she was able to share too about being an author and writing a children's book called Worthy and what that means for children and how she wished someone would have told her at an earlier age that she was worthy of this, that she is worthy of love and kindness and acceptance and community. And wow, what a powerful moment.
So Courtney is an author. We auctioned off one of her books, which was a really cool moment. After the interviews, we did a live auction moment. She signed a copy of her book, Worthy, and we did a live auction and said, who wants this? Starting bid at whatever. And Christian, our MC auctioneer extraordinaire, went out there. And it was a bidding. It was bidding.
It was a bidding war.
Over here, over here, over here, over here. And it was incredible to see the love that she felt, because I remember when the book was going and it was like $1,000, $1,200. And she looked and she looked over us. She's like, you've got to be kidding me. She goes, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It was really cool mm-hmm. to see that.
Yeah. So I just want to, so for our other live auction moments in the room, we auctioned off Courtney's book that I believe it sold for $1,200, was it? $1,400?
Oh, it was over $1,000, yeah.
It was over $1,000 that her book went for. I would have to go back and look at our reports to know for sure. And then our adoptive families also collaborated, each one, and created a piece of artwork that reminded them of their time with us in Walt Disney World. The Lyons family, Kaylee had painted this adorable picture of them in a 12x12 canvas of like a Mickey Mouse with them in the center of Mickey holding hands as a family with Mickey balloons. And in the ears were written, Ohana means family and family means no one ever gets left behind. So adorable. It was beautiful. And then the Dabbs family actually created, they kind of came together and collaborated. Luke likes to do woodwork, so he cut out this big Mickey head shape. And then Melanie and Siddiqui put fabric from his home country, his native country, Sierra Leone, all over it. And it was stunning. It was stunning. The colors of the blue and the yellow
gorgeous.
And the orange. And so those also auctioned off. Kaylee's artwork auctioned off for, I think it was $1,200.
I thought it was near 2,000. I thought it was up to 2,000.
Was it 1,500? We'll have to go back and look.
It was impressive. And it then was really cool.
Siddiqui's artwork, it went for $3,300. $3,300, that piece of artwork. It was like, such a moving moment. And can I tell you, too, how validating when you have a woman that is sitting there saying she wrote this book worthy because she wished that she had felt worthy as a child, to then sell a copy of her book. And she had two other books because she's been published in Two Chicken Soups. So she threw those in. I didn't know she was going to bring those. That was so kind of her. Threw those into the auction as well. She personally signed those to the winner. But to see her sell or auction off one of her books for over $1,000, it's like, girl, what you're doing is a worthy work. That's just like affirmation right there in the room for her heart to know you're doing amazing things. You're using your story for the good. You are worthy. And then for those kids, when Kaylee's, because they were kind of at like $200, do I hear $250? Okay, I got $250, can I get $300? And that one donor said, $1,000. Like, she kind of was like, are you kidding me? This is like child's, I'm $1,000.
$1,000. Yeah.
Kaylee's face just like dropped, her jaw dropped.
She was like, like unreal.
Like something that I created is worth $1,000 to someone in this room. Can you tell me that adoptive families don't feel seen and loved in those moments? It gives me chills.
Oh, I've got chills right now, literally from head to toe. That was, yeah, those were some powerful moments, and so glad we did it. So glad that was a part of our evening. Mm-hmm. You know, after we wrapped that up, we had dessert. You gave your extraordinary speech. We wrapped up the silent auction. We wrapped up the evening with some with the final push for donations. And after that, we had a dance party. So donations closed, silent auction closed. We celebrated with a huge thank you to all of our donors in the room with an hour of a dance party with our extraordinary Christian Dumond, who also was the DJ.
He was now wearing his DJ hat.
Man of many talents, man of many hats. But I want to end this, and I just threw this on you today and in the moment before we started recording, but I want to announce the total earnings for the evening. But after we announce the total earnings, I want you to give your speech here on the podcast tonight.
Absolutely.
Because I think it is worthy of more than the people that were in the room hearing it. I think it needs to be out there for everyone to hear it, because it is so moving. It is it's a call to action, and it is so just so good, and everyone needs to hear it. So let's announce though. Let's tell. I know it'll be on the social interweb, so people might already know this, but let's do it. Drum roll, please.
Drum roll.
How much did we get, Mallory?
Over $100,000.
Unreal. Unreal. It's like like I said in the beginning.
Our goal was to get $100,000, and we did it.
Mm-hmm.
We freaking did it. I cannot believe it. I like, it didn't happen all in that one night. We were pretty close that first night. Woke up the next morning and we're like, I got like an email report or like an update report from OneCause, which is what we use for our bidding system, and my jaw dropped. And I was like, oh no, that's what we raised. And then so those next 2 days over social media, we were so close because we had raised $92,124. I can remember because I typed it into the system of like, this is what we raised. And we were so close. So I said, hey, you know what? Let's leave it open until midnight on Sunday and just see. I know there was a lot of people that were not able to make it that night in the room, and it was a smaller event. So even some of the people that did want to come, like we sold out, couldn't come. And then, you know, I wanted to get people online that now saw the event, that were feeling compelled, be able to contribute and give them that time and space to do so. And in that next 24, 40, 36 hours, I would say, we did it.
We reached our $100,000.
I am baffled and yet at the same time not, because we have the most incredible donors. And they are people that truly lock arms with us, believe in this mission, and are here to support us, and have said to us, many people in that room that night said to us, like, we're here. We're here for whatever you need. This is amazing. This can never stop happening. If you need something, you ask me. And I just cannot get over how generous the people are that have come around us. And we are going to continue to do big things.
We're never stopping. And we're never stopping. And the community that we had going into the gala has just grown. So the amazing community of donors, the amazing community of supporters, volunteers, everybody that goes into putting on a Funding Love Vacation and into putting on this Funding Love Gala has literally just grown. I mean, people are seeing us. People now finally get it. I don't want to say not everybody, but those who were kind of like, cute. They kind of know what they're doing. That's kind of a cute idea. Get it. They get it. And it's only going to go up from here as far as the impact that Funding Love's going to make. So let's just say it again. We're not going anywhere. We can't go anywhere. This is too big of a deal to ever stop doing this. Let's do it. Let's hear it. So here it is. Mallory's speech from the Funding Love Gala 2023.
You are Funding Love. With every dollar you donate, every bid that you make, every seat that you take, you are Funding Love. But what is love? Love is seeing the child that didn't have a choice. Love is supporting the woman that was told to quiet her voice. Love is investing in families because we know the impacts they hold. You are Funding Love. Love is a childhood dream that a girl always had of being a princess. But life treated her bad, and instead of support, they handed her shame. Signed on the line, life never the same. Love is a child that had a strong family with traditions and legacies and true strong identity that anchors the soul and puts wind in the sail of a dream ship called childhood, where joy and confidence prevail. Love is a friendship that truly understands you, that looks in your eyes and says, yeah, me too. To a parent that is tired of tantrums and trauma, to a woman whose heart pings when she hears the word mama because nobody knows, just smile, just pretend like you didn't place a child, like you're not at wit's end. Adoption is love, but adoption is loss. Adoption is hard. It comes at a cost, and new families that are left with struggles and debt and handfuls of lies that ignorance begets. And birth moms, well, they're left with empty arms and empty bellies and empty hearts being told to move on. No, the shame stops here. The isolation, the sadness, the unmet needs, hurtful words, all of the madness. Funding Love takes a stand. Funding Love gives a platform. Funding Love knows that joy has the power to transform. But Funding Love is just a name. Two words. And words can do nothing. It takes people to make a dream a reality, said a man named Walt Disney. Nothing will change. Without me, without you. So here is your chance. What will you do? Will you just sit in your seat? Or will you link arms with us? Take up a flag. Get on the bus. You're making a difference. One choice at a time in conversations, in sharing. $1, one dime. When we say, you're going to Walt Disney World when making a call, it's you saying that. You're doing it all. You're making a birth mom feel like a princess. You're empowering a parent with little money to say yes. Yes to the ice cream. Yes to the ride. Yes, let's hug Mickey for the 20th time. Behind every smile, behind every happy tear is you. Funding Love. You're doing it here, here and now. In a world that is so broken. You're making dreams come true, ending stigmas, helping hurting hearts to reopen. So when you made that final bid, and when you donate that last penny, you're not just giving to another good cause. It's so much more than that. You are Funding Love.
And there you have it. That was absolutely incredible. Once again, chill bumps from head to toe. And I'm just going to leave it at that. That was Mal's speech. It was incredible. I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of the way this event turned out. And I want y'all to know, keep your eye on social media. Keep following Funding Love because we will be announcing next year's date for the gala very, very soon. So don't take your eye off of us. Thank you for supporting us in this gala. We are so grateful for our community. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Funding Love Podcast. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Funding Love Podcast. We are a crowdfunded nonprofit, which means that people like you can make a lasting impact on the adoption community through your generous support. You can give online today at fundinglove.com/donate.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I support Funding Love pretty much any way that I can, by listening to the podcast, sharing about them on social media, and donating to their fundraisers. My favorite thing about Funding Love, besides the magical vacations they provide to adopted families and birth moms, is that they are an amazing resource for my husband and I as we begin our own journey of growing our family through adoption. I help to create post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people. I am Funding Love.